And my little kids loved this. And I loved it as a mom because I love the fun of holidays. And I also love the meaning of holidays. And so I felt like this really combined both of them together.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life.
When my kids were growing up, we did all of the Easter traditions. The new outfits, shoes, the Easter bunny baskets, the dyed eggs, the egg hunts, church on Sunday, the family devotional about Christ and the resurrection, and Sunday dinner with ham, funeral potatoes, and my sister's coconut cake. I've always loved Easter and the traditions. But when my husband's health was declining and we knew his death was closer than we wanted to admit, Easter switched for me. On Easter, 2 months before his passing, Christopher made two social media posts. The first one had a photo of a yellow daffodil, the first of our bulbs that would pop up in our garden every year, with these words by Jeffrey R. Holland, who is a leader in my faith. Because the restoration reaffirmed the foundational truth that God does work in this world, we can hope, we should hope, even when facing the most insurmountable odds. Among our most indispensable virtues will be this precious gift of hope, linked inextricably to our faith in God and our charity to others. That was posted on April 5th, 2020. And then 1 week later, Chris made a second post with a picture painted by Minerva Tykert of Christ appearing to Mary after his resurrection with the words from the third verse of the hymn, "Christ the Lord is risen today." Lives again our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Once he died our souls to save. Where thy victory, O grave? That was posted on April 12th, 2020. And now, every year on Easter, I think of Christopher. And I think of these posts he wrote as he was dying to share with his friends and family about what he was thinking about. And I'll never be the same. Easter isn't about bunnies and candy and eggs. It's about our Savior. It's about hope. And it's real. And this is why Easter matters. Chris got it. In April 2023, Gary E. Stevenson, who's a leader in the LDS Church, asked the following question.
How do we model the teaching and celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Easter story, with the same balance, fullness and religious tradition of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Christmas story?
Sometimes we devote a month or more to Christmas. But what does Easter get? A day? Maybe a few? But here's the thing. I don't think it's the quantity of our celebration that matters. It's the quality. We can celebrate Christmas for months and still really never reach the heart of what Christ's birth meant to the world. The same thing applies to celebrating Easter. So that's why we here at The Lisa Show decided to ask some of our friends about how they make Easter a more meaningful experience. You'll hear 26 ideas from people of different countries, different faiths, and different ages. Our hope is that these ideas will inspire all of us to give our Easter celebrations the intention, the fullness, and the richness they deserve. I'm now going to step aside for a bit and just let my friends do the talking.
One of the things that we've done is we pull out the Legos and we let our children build Holy Week. The kids have such a great time looking through each of the minifigures and trying to figure out which one looks the most like Jesus, and is there a palm frond, and can we find a donkey? And my very favorite, they built the Last Supper, and my little boy actually built the minifigures so that one was sitting down and so that Jesus was washing his feet, and had a little dish with blue Legos in it like the water, and he was so proud of it. And then the Garden of Gethsemane, the crucifixion, and then, of course, the empty tomb. It's such a great active activity because as we're building together, we can just talk about it. And we can talk about the little details that we want in each of the scenes and why those details are there. Why do we have the bread and the cup of wine at the Last Supper? What does that mean to us now? And it's just made a way for us to just talk without having it be super formal. because we're just building together and having a great time looking for the right hair for this character or the right outfit for this character. And we have loved doing that.
I'm from Germany, and one tradition I remember is that we used to bake a cake in the shape of a lamb, and it was put on the table on Easter Sunday and eaten as a remembrance of Christ.
I am the vicar of St. Mary's Episcopal Church. Holy Week for us is part of Lent, which begins with Ash Wednesday. And we remember the time that Jesus spent in the wilderness where he was tempted. All of us experience some sort of wilderness. We are all at one point in the wilderness, and so was Jesus. And we remember that even Jesus was tempted. And we also remember that no matter what temptation comes, it cannot be overcome unless we do rely on Jesus, on God's grace, and on the fact that we are never alone. So for us, Lent culminates with Holy Week. And then, of course, Holy Week culminates with Easter, with the resurrection.
On the morning of Good Friday, we turn off all the lights in the house and keep them off until Easter morning. We don't get too draconian about it. We get to use flashlights or lanterns to function. But the dim light during the day and the darkness at night remind us of Christ's death and the sojourn in the tomb, how his disciples must have felt, and what our lives would feel like without him. On Easter morning, when we get to turn the lights on, there's a palpable relief. We're always so grateful just to be able to turn the switch and see our daily lives in a new way. That, too, is a beautiful reminder of what Easter means. New light and new hope after the darkness for all of us.
Music is a big part of making Easter meaningful for me. I grew up listening to the Sandy Patty Easter album. Beautiful songs on there, like Glorious Morning, Via Dolorosa. Songs of worship really bring the spirit of the holiday to me there.
I came across this quote by N.T. Wright. It says, we should be taking steps to celebrate Easter in creative new ways in art, literature, children's games, poetry, music, dance festivals, bells, special concerts. This is our greatest festival. Take Christmas away, and in biblical terms, you lose two chapters at the front of Matthew and Luke, nothing else. Take Easter away, and you don't have a New Testament. You don't have a Christianity. I love that, and that got my creative juices flowing in that how amazing would it be to have a festival, have an Easter celebration where you can invite people to just come and celebrate Christ, and I love the idea of that.
We make Easter more meaningful by making a gratitude jar where everyone can add notes of things they are grateful for about Jesus Christ and his atonement.
I decided to follow what happened to Christ every day of Holy Week and to be able to talk about that with my kids. So that was our scripture study. Every day was talking about what Jesus did that day of Holy Week. On Monday, when he cleansed the temple, we drove to the temple and we talked about the temple and why that's important. Friday was the day we had a Jesus dinner, and I got rotisserie chicken and pita bread and cheese and olives and sparkling cider. That was the hit. Everyone was very excited about our version of the wine that Christ served. And we had a supper, a last supper. We ate on the ground. The high chair went on the ground as well. Everyone sat on the ground and ate. And before the dinner, I took a bucket with water and washed the feet of every member of my family. And we talked about how Christ did that. And it changed Easter for me, hopefully for my family as well. But it changed for me to think about Christ, how he felt and how his friends felt and how devastated they were on Saturday when they didn't know that Sunday was coming. It was a great tradition, and I'm sure that we will do it for many years to come now.
On Easter morning, me and my family go up onto the hill above our house and watch the sunrise. My mom says that it symbolizes Jesus rising again on the third day. It makes me feel happy, and it makes me feel like Jesus will come one day and he'll tell me how much he loves me and how much he cares.
Every Easter, our family places Easter lilies around the house. The flowers serve as reminders of Christ for our family in several ways. First, lilies start as rough and unattractive bulbs. It reminds us of the scripture in Isaiah that Christ would grow up as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground without comeliness and beauty. The lily also reminds us of Christ with its healing properties. Lilies have been used for centuries as cures for respiratory problems and sleeplessness. Like the lily, Christ comes with healing in his wings. And finally, the lily reminds us of Christ's death and resurrection in its blooms. In order for the bulb to blossom, it has to be buried for a time before it can turn into a brilliant white flower. The process is similar to our Savior being buried in a garden tomb and appearing 3 days later as the resurrected Lord that announces victory over death and sin to Mary and his apostles. Lilies are sometimes called the white-robed apostles of hope, and that is exactly what they do for our family, remind us of hope that comes with Easter.
When I was in my early 20s, I moved to Boston, Massachusetts. And that was where, for the first time, I saw people on Palm Sunday walking down the street waving big palm fronds. At first, I didn't know what they were doing. And then I realized, oh, Palm Sunday, and it's the triumphal entry day. And this is when it really starts, with the last week of Christ's life. So from those days, a couple decades ago, I always try to find palm fronds to give away to get into that tradition.
I think the most important way to make Easter more meaningful is to involve family and those we love in doing the things Christ would do. I think there's one thing to sing the songs and participate in church and all of that, and as important as that is, actually getting on the ground together and doing Christ-like things for one another, for our neighbors, is a way that we embody Christ and embody the teachings that we celebrate at Easter.
One of the things we do is, instead of having the Easter Bunny come on that Easter Sunday, the Easter Bunny comes to our house on Saturday, and we let the Easter Bunny do its thing on Saturday, and then that leaves Sunday to just focus on the Savior. Another thing that I try and do is, just in my decorating in the house, try and put more things of the Savior around than of the Easter Bunny or Easter eggs or things like that. I know that those have representations of Easter and what it means, but I have a banner that I hang that says, "He is risen," and I have a display scene of the resurrection instead of just putting up another Easter Bunny or an Easter egg. So I try and just do those little things around the home that I feel like help draw my kids' attention to the Savior and what the holiday really means, as opposed to the fluffy stuff.
Our cousins come over to our house, and we have some symbolic foods. While they're there, we get a red cloth and we go outside and hang it over the door, because there's a story about the destroying angel. It symbolizes the blood of the lamb over the doors, and that's what the red sash is about.
When my kids were really little, there was a book that I found and I just absolutely loved it. It's called The Best Thing About Easter. And it goes through all of the things. Oh, jelly beans are so fun. Going on egg hunts is so fun. And after every single one of those things, it says, but that's not the best thing about Easter. So we go through all of the fun traditions and things like that. And it moves into going to church in our new Sunday dress is so great, but it's not the best thing about Easter. Singing songs with the rest of the people in our congregation feels so wonderful, but it's not the best thing about Easter. The best thing about Easter is Jesus. And then it goes into the story of Easter, of Jesus's story. And my little kids loved this. And I loved it as a mom because I love the fun of holidays. And I also love the meaning of holidays. And so I felt like this really combined both of them together.
We open up an egg and it has something inside that represents Jesus, and it's like a symbol of the day. And so on one day there's like the palm leaves for him entering Jerusalem, and one day there's the cross for him dying, and then there's a rock for the empty tomb, and it's so on and so on.
I grew up playing violin with my family, and around all the major holidays, especially the Christ-centered holidays like Easter, we would get out our instruments and play together, and it helped remind us why we celebrate those holidays in the first place. And I just always loved that music was such a simple but powerful way to bring the Spirit into our home.
We found a wonderful set of figures that are like a Christmas nativity, but it's a resin Easter nativity.
and the kids tell the story using the figures and enjoy playing with them and retelling it. It's just about the cutest thing in the world to come around the corner and see your three-year-old walking Christ out of the tomb and arranging the flowers around the scene. And there's also a Gethsemane scene that goes with this particular set. It's indestructible, so I love that they can play with it hands-on. That's one of our favorite traditions to recreate.
We've made an Easter box for people who are sick or in the hospital or just need an uplift. And we take eggs, and instead of putting candy in them, we put little notes of love and encouragement and quotes that will help them feel good and happy and help them think about Easter.
Starting on Palm Sunday, we take the painting of the Savior's triumphal entry and we read a scripture that correlates. Then, as a family, we sing a song that correlates with the things that he did on that day. Each day, the wall fills up with more depictions of what the Savior did as a reminder of the greatest act that he performed for us, culminating with his resurrection. I think my favorite day is when we discuss him instituting the sacraments and then going to the Garden of Gethsemane and suffering for our sins. As I look at the picture of Christ kneeling over an olive tree and praying, I'm reminded that I took part in that act and that he was praying over me. Being able to have the visual reminders all along the wall in our home helps invite the spiritual reminder that we are part of that story because of the love that he has for each one of us.
For dinner, we have disciple dinner, that's what we call it, because we celebrate the disciples because we sit on the floor, we have a nice old rag that the food sits on, and then we eat. We also have grape juice that we can drink and all sorts of other foods because that's the same dinner they ate.
In Russia, the Easter greeting is Christos Voskres, Christ is risen. And the response is Vaistinu Voskres, truly he is risen.
As a kid, we used to make what we called resurrection rolls. We'd get canned biscuit dough and put a marshmallow in the middle and seal it up and brush it with butter and cinnamon sugar. And when you bake them, the marshmallow would disappear. So it was symbolic of the tomb being empty. So it was a really nice moment to just bring in some intentionality with a fun food thing that kids could understand.
One of my most favorite things to do was listen to the Lamb of God soundtrack, especially the song about Thomas, because I kind of relate to him a little bit. It was always a great reminder that no matter where I was on my faith journey, you know, there was that message of the atonement and Christ and Easter.
I served my mission in Guatemala, and one thing that was really special in their country is they spend the entire week creating these chalk paintings in the street, and they build floats that depict scenes from the Savior's life, especially the last week of the Savior's life. And then throughout the week, they go and they do these huge processions over the alfombras that they have created through the chalk. And so from that experience and from other experiences interacting with my Catholic friends, our family has tried to incorporate more about the Holy Week and reading about the Savior's last week of his life and the different things that he was doing on each day and trying to reflect on those and remember him during that week.
So there's always the egg hunt. And one year we decided instead of doing it during the daytime, that we would do it at night and that we would have a glow-in-the-dark egg hunt. And as I was thinking about this glow-in-the-dark egg hunt, I thought, you know, I really want it to be meaningful. And so I started looking up all the scriptures about how Jesus is light. I did a label with each scripture on the egg. And as the kids gathered in the eggs, we brought out the scriptures and we read each of the scriptures on the eggs. We didn't turn on the lights when we were reading the scriptures. We actually read by candlelight so that we could really talk about how Jesus can see more and feel more and be more than everyone else because he experienced every kind of darkness. And he descended below all things so his empathy and compassion could be a light to us. Because he knows what every kind of darkness feels like, he can help us understand that his love, like a light, is more powerful than any darkness we can feel.
Easter isn't just a good time of year. It's the most important time of year. I'm grateful to everyone who shared ideas for making it a more meaningful celebration. I love that we can use everything from food to Legos to flowers to decor to lean into the wonders of Easter. As for me, I've tried to continue the tradition of Easter baskets, a big dinner, and Sunday worship on Easter, but Easter hits differently for me now. My kids aren't little, and that version of Easter is over. I don't need any candy. I mean, I don't care about dying eggs. Instead, Easter has become a deeply personal season for me. I'm thoughtful around Easter. It brings back very personal experiences that I've had, including my husband's passing, and it causes me to revisit questions like, do I really believe this event happened? And what does that mean for me today? Because I have real hope in Christ, the significance of Easter is not lost on me. Everything I worry about, try to understand, or try to become has significance because of this event. That's why Easter is worth celebrating. I hope that regardless of how we choose to observe Easter, that it is intentional, that it is worshipful, that it is significant, that it is joyful, because that's what the Easter story is all about.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price, with help from Becca Hurley, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with music and post-production by Gracie Davis. A special thank you to all of our guests for sharing their ideas on how to celebrate Easter. A link to the LDS Church's website on how you can celebrate Easter will be in our show notes. Also, be sure to check out the Council of Moms, available now wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.